And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino and Howard Cross. And we'll be talking Giants football with you for the next hour as the Giants prepare to take on the Cincinnati Bengals here at MetLife Stadium. Another home game for the Giants, the second of three home games in a row. They are currently on a three-game winning streak. They are 5-3 on the year. The Bengals are 4-3, 3-4-1. This is a team that had that tie a couple of weeks ago in London, and then they had the bye week.
I don't think
you like that, do you?
No, I don't think I've ever played when there was a tie. Have the Giants ever had a tie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'd have to go back to the Cardinals game. There was a game on primetime football.
What year was it?
Oh, God. I want to say it was like 83.
Okay, that's before my time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely before your time.
Yeah.
In any event, folks, a 27-27 tie over in London for the Bengals. Then they had the bye week, and so they are rested up as they come in here to the Meadowlands to play the New York Giants. Now, there will be no poll question because, as you know, after the presidential race, the polls don't matter. nothing in the polls will have any significance in terms of what we do here today.
That is not inviting any poll questions.
No, we are not. We are not. I'm trying to be funny.
Yeah,
it didn't work? Okay, it didn't work.
I'm afraid that could go awry. Don't do that.
Okay. The Giants will be heading out to the practice field in, I don't know, about 10 minutes or so, very shortly. And so if we get any word as to what happened at practice or injury reports, et cetera, we'll try to get them to you. But at the moment, we just move on with phone calls. 201-939-4513. It's our phone number on the show. Howard, just a couple of quick thoughts since you and I haven't had a chance to talk in a week since the Giants won their game over Philadelphia Sunday. This is a team now that has to move on at least for the foreseeable future without Justin Pugh at left guard, who arguably, I think he's the best offensive lineman on the team. Rich Berg's had a pretty good year too, but Pugh's got a sprained knee, and they're saying he's going to be out for a little while. So that means Brett Jones, who played remarkably well the other day coming in, is the new left guard.
I think that's good for Brett. I think he'll get some good reps. I think what's going to be tough for Brett is that people are going to watch him on tape and the thing's going to go back over and over again. Somebody's going to say, like, this little guy can't block me. That's what I would be saying if I was playing defensive line. I would be very, very animated and like, I don't think this guy should be blocking me. And they're going to go after him. So it's going to be interesting to see how he holds up. I mean, he's tenacious. He's quick. He's got great, great feet. But how is he going to hold up with much, much bigger guys? Because the guys are much bigger.
Now, maybe in one regard he's fortunate because the guy he goes up against this week is Geno Atkins, who is a Pro Bowler, so that's a bad deal. But the good deal is Atkins is actually a shade under 300 pounds. He's not one of those 330-pound defensive linemen. He's a little bit smaller.
Yeah, but Atkins also has great power, leverage, and speed.
That's why he's a Pro Bowler.
Leverage is maybe nullified because Brett's so small and he's down, to kind of takes the leverage out. But the power and speed is going to be the thing that's going to – it's going to be interesting. You know, the low man usually wins, and right now our guy's going to be a little lower because he's not the tallest guy on the planet. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out.
The other injury the Giants incurred during the victory over the Eagles, Victor Cruz had what they call a low ankle sprain. He is day-to-day.
Mild low.
Yes. He had x-rays, MRIs. Victor was already telling people on WFAN the other day he's very confident, does believe there's a good chance of him playing. Have you had a mild low ankle sprain before?
I've had all kinds of ankle sprains, but it just depends on where
pain threshold?
No. It depends on, like, where it is on your foot. You know, the mild ankle sprain, you think if it's, like, lower and it should be the big moment. But if you have the great tape job and you play, it was worse on me probably than it would be on Victor because I had to block as well.
Right.
So you had direct pressure constantly on you.
Like you were a little bigger than him, too.
Well, tougher, too. I may not be able to salsa. Shoot. Come on now.
I hear you. I hear you, Howard. So in any event, I know there is optimism about Cruz's chances to play. Again, we'll try to find out during practice today while we're in here if he was able to get out and do anything on the field. Mm-hmm. So those are the two injuries coming out of the game the Giants had. They also, unfortunately, did suffer a setback with Darian Thompson, the free safety, who went to the foot doctor on Tuesday. They told him that surgery is likely to be required, and so he's been placed on injured reserve, and he is now done for the season. The good news, though, they did get safety reinforcements back. Nat Burhe was cleared from concussion protocol and actually got in some of the game against Philadelphia.
Okay, yeah, he did. He played very well. I think, you know, Adams, though, is going to be the new is the guy. I
mean, right now.
You kind of like ride the hot hand. It's not necessarily ride the hot hand. It's just he's the guy that's got to be in the game. He's going to make some plays. It's going to be very interesting to see this week what a player with the caliber of A.J. Green, the guy who, quote, unquote, takes the top off of a defense. Adams is going to be – he'll be playing at the goal line on every play, even when they're coming out. I mean, he's got a backup, okay? And I'm just saying it to help him. Like, listen, if you're listening to the show, if you get this pre-recorded, back up, dude. He can run.
He sure can. In fact, A.J. Green this year in the 8 games that the Bengals have played, 4 of them he's caught over 120 yards worth of passes.
Yeah. He can run. I'm telling you. And he will catch the ball if they throw it to him. It's not a jump ball. He goes and gets it.
The Giants also activated veteran Adam Gettis off the practice squad. He is a guard swing center to enhance their offensive line depth because they know Pugh's not going to be available.
That's interesting. You know, with all this talk in the past about, you know, Beattie being back and you think Newhouse and how they could shuffle guys around, they didn't shuffle anybody around. They activated another guy.
Yeah. Very
interesting.
And by the way, Coach Mike Solari, who handles the offensive line for the Giants, you know, we get questions all the time about should they make a change, should they sub somebody out, what's the deal? People talk about Beattie all the time on this show, as you know, Howard. Mike Solari said himself, the Giants' 5 best offensive linemen are starting right now, and that's it. It's that simple. Those are the 5 best, which means if you're not starting, you're not one of the 5 best.
Well, that's kind of harsh to say because Newhouse is a good player. He was playing very well.
Well, he played some jumbo tight end the other day.
And I thought that was the single probably most important thing that he did. It's going to be interesting to see if he can catch the ball, if he gets out there and give him a little dump pass. But we'll see when we go along.
You really want to see that?
Oh, absolutely. I love when a big guy gets it. You out there blocking. Give that dude some love. Throw him a biscuit. It'll be fine.
201-939-4513 is our phone number. You could also hit us up on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. He is at Howard Cross 87. I am at Giants WFAN. All right, let's go to the first phone call. It would be AJ. You are first on the program. Hello.
AJ Green's calling?
I don't know if it's AJ Green, but it is AJ. Hello.
Nope.
Are you with us? Hey, how you doing? Hello?
I'm good.
You're first.
Go ahead.
I got a question about his phone.
His cell phone is flipping out.
In and out. Like, we're really sorry. We have to go to someone else because we couldn't hear you. Your phone was going in and out.
Try calling us back again, and we promise we'll put you to the front of the line. Nugs, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Hey, morning. What's happening?
I just wanted to touch on what you guys have just touched on about A.J. Green lifting the top off of a defense. The thing I've been noticing and don't get it wrong, I'm hardcore. I'll take the wins however we can get it. Mm-hmm. I'll take them however we can get it. I mean, 5-3 is better than 3-5, better than 4-4. You know, it just feels good to be a Giants fan and be over 500 at 8 games into the season.
Nice. Okay.
So I'll take that. But what I have noticed is that in those first couple games, we didn't give up those explosive plays. Then starting in that 3-game winning streak and even, I mean, 3-game losing streak, and even through that 3-game winning streak, we have been giving up explosive plays, big chunk plays that have been letting teams flip the field, get out of a deep field position where if we could get a 3-and-out or something like that, you know, we would put our offense on a short field because even though our offense has been putting up some points lately, it's kind of smoke and mirrors because our defense has been giving us short fields. You know, Philadelphia, those 2 early turnovers gave us a good chance to for our offense to go short fields and get the lead. And like I said, I will never look to give horse in the mouth. I don't know if he has feelings or anything, and I'll take it. But what I am scared of is coming in with a dominant receiver, a top five receiver in A.J. Green. I'm scared of that free safety not being there. Burhey, yeah, I'm happy he's back, but he did get burnt as soon as he came in the game, and I'm just scared that we'll get that we're going to see a lot of chunk plays, and maybe this time Cincinnati will be able to get the ship right against us. I'm happy to talk to you again, Howard, and I'll just take your answer offline.
All right. First things first, the Giants are one of 32 teams, we'll call it one of 31 teams, that have the same issue when they see A.J. Green. Legion of Boom, I don't care who you are, when it's A.J. Green, everybody's nervous because he can make chunk plays. And so far, there hasn't been a team or a player to prevent him, not even the great Josh Norman, who brags all the time that he can stop him from making those kind of chunk plays if he's in this kind of scenario. I hope our safeties play okay. I hope they do a good job. I made jokes about them, like, get back because this kid is good. Unless you sack Andy Dalton in a two-step or a three-step drop, A.J. Green can get enough speed up in his first few steps that it's just different. I was talking to, here's a name for you, Ernie Accorsi the other night. And Ernie Accorsi was talking to me about the change. He goes, what do you attribute the biggest change in the last few years? I said, the five-yard bump rule. Because the five-yard bump rule allows a receiver that's good and can take the top off the offense defense to be great, because after 5 yards, you can't come in contact with him again.
Right.
So in 5 yards, that's A.J. Green's second step. So after his second step, it's, oh, my God, he's gone. So it's going to be very interesting to see how we, you know, where the safeties are playing over the top. Can they try to keep him inside so they can get a hit on him? But the best way to stop him is to double up on him, jam him at the line, try to slow him down at the line to give those guys a chance to get to Andy Dalton.
You know, the other great way is, as Howard said, get to Andy Dalton. I mean, the Giants' pass rush has really woken up in the last three games during this course of the winning streak, Howard. They've gotten a lot more pressures. They've actually gotten more sacks than they were getting earlier in the season. And that's a big deal, too.
Yeah, it is. But here's the thing that people won't think about. The Giants are historically horrible at primetime games.
Yes, they are.
Cincinnati is horrible at away games.
That's true, too.
You got two bad moments about to happen, and something good's got to come out of it. I just hope something good comes out of it for the Giants.
Okay. Let's go back to the calls.
There you go.
Robin in Atlanta, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Hi.
Good, very good.
All right, man. Yeah, I just wanted to mention a couple of things about the last game. I noticed that Eli, he did a great job stepping up in the pocket and delivering those couple of those passes that he delivered on.
Okay.
So, I mean, he played well through that game. You know, I know he felt the pressure and stuff coming, and he stepped up and delivered the passes. So that was great job on his part.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
You know, Eli has been stepping up and moving around. I said that if the Giants are going to have success going forward, he was going to have to be willing to take a few hits. We don't want him to take hits and everything.
Yeah.
We want him to stay as healthy as possible, but he's just going to have to take some hits. And even the play that was the interception, he was stepping up trying to get the pass away, but the guy had put so much pressure that he was able to get his hand on it. So,
yeah.
Again, it's going to be a mixed bag. It's going to be, wow, what a great play. And then it's going to be, oh, my God, I hope Eli's okay in this process.
And then on the Cincinnati game, I think the only way we probably going to put a little pressure on him is if we get to Andy Dalton, because A.J., I think he just probably might have a field day on it. But if we get some pressure
on
Andy Dalton and make him uncomfortable, I think that, you know, that'd be our best shot at, you know.
Well,
it gives us a good chance of winning the game.
Like Paul said earlier, the defense seems to have woken up. A lot of different ways to put pressure on guys. The fear I have is that if it's not the front four, it has to be the front four. Because if you take a guy to coverage and single A.J. up, or if you can't double and put a guy over the top of him, then that's when issues start to come into play. Because if it's me and I'm playing quarterback, I'm looking for 18. I'm like, okay, he's on the right side. He's running the go route. Come after me. Like, I'm throwing it.
And then the defense played lights out last game, man. They played real good, man. It's like, I'd rather right now compared to last season where, you know, we left the offense on the field because the defense wasn't doing that good.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'd rather leave the defense on the field because they, you know, offense ain't playing that well for us. But, you know, the defense been lights out so far, man. This past few games,
yep.
They've been lights out.
Well, we just keep pulling for it, man. They're doing a good job right now.
Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks.
A couple of numbers I can give you, Howard, about that defense. During the three-game winning streak, mm-hmm. Teams are 3 of 7 when going for fourth down against the Giants during the winning streak.
That's...
Also during the winning streak, teams have scored 5 touchdowns on 14 trips inside the red zone. Defense is by far the number one red zone defense so far in the National Football League.
That's all good stuff. You just got to keep doing it. Again, that happens with different teams and different matchups. You have the unique matchup of the A.J. Green factor in this game. You got to get to Dalton because A.J. Green is dangerous.
You know what's interesting about Green? Mm-hmm. He leads the NFL in receptions with 59, despite the fact that they've had a bye week. Okay, that's how good he is. But interestingly enough, 59 catches, only 3 touchdowns this year.
I hope he keeps that. I hope he catches 140 yards against us. No touchdowns, I'd be happy with that.
I understand.
I'd be very happy with that. Just keep him out of the end zone.
Okay. Let's try to go back to the phone calls. And line one, Ken from New Jersey is next up. Hello. Hi, Ken. Ken has decided to have lunch. That's okay. I appreciate your interest. We'll get you next time. Sean from California, you're on the program. Hello.
How you guys doing today?
Hi.
Good.
Dang, that was fast. I just called in like 5 minutes ago. That's great. I was so jumping for joy, man. Like, we finally did it. We have a long way to go. But, like, we finally got over the Eagles lump that we've been in. And, like, I felt like I brought back the feeling when we beat San Francisco back in 2010 to make the Super Bowl, like, you know, even a tear was coming down my eyes. I'm like, I can't believe we finally did it. But besides that, I just wanted to put out, like, a statement. Not a statement. I always say statement on this thing. So, but anyways, I looked at the Cowboys' record, and the only team they won that's over 500 is us. Like, the only team that they lost against, you know, like, the whole record, the only team that they played over 500 right now is us. And if you look at their schedule, I mean, like, we have a hard schedule coming up, too. But I think Dallas and the Eagles, they have a harder schedule than both us and the Redskins.
Yeah,
and
they play a better schedule. They finish higher.
Yeah,
in the
I mean, like, Eagles play Atlanta, then they play Seattle, and then they play Green Bay. Like, wow, like, you know what I'm saying? So we can see a massive switch between the rankings in the next couple of weeks. But anyways, about Cincinnati, I want to ask them, how is the status of Tyler Eifert? Because I hear a lot of people talking about A.J. Green, but if Tyler Eifert is healthy, he can kill us. You know what I'm saying? In the red zone, especially.
Interesting you bring his name up because he had an off-season ankle surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back two weeks ago and was only a bit player and caught a couple of passes. Then against the Redskins in the game in London, he caught, I think, 8 or 9 balls for over 100 yards. In fact, it's only the second time in his career he's caught over 100 yards worth of passes. He was a big deal that day. Caught a touchdown pass, too.
And
they are so happy to have him back. And now he had the week off. He's going to be a big part of their offense this week, Howard.
He will be. You know, with a week off, you have to think about two things. You got to think about, because he played so much in the game in London, and he had to fly back. What did that do to that ankle? The thing about coming back from an injury is not the coming back from an injury. You're healthy. It's what do you feel like after you get some, you know, a lot of reps on that ankle and stuff. Even though he's got, you know, time back, if they're pressing him or giving him a hard time in the run game, he'll have a harder time in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
If he has to block somebody, really has to block him, and you're leaning on him, that mm-hmm. you know, surgically repaired ankle becomes – it could become an issue. So it'll be – and I'm not wishing, believe me, any pain on him or anything like that, but that's the hardest thing to
so
overcome.
So if I'm reading you correctly, you would get a hat on him at the line of scrimmage as often as possible.
I would bump him as many times as possible because it's harder to come back when it's your legs or your ankles or something. It's just harder to come back when every time someone leans on you, every time somebody bumps into you, every time anything happens. If you're out running free and no one's touching you, you're great. But if you get tackled and there's a few guys tackling you, like you don't get just to go down, you're not happy. You're just not.
I feel you, and I believe that Cincinnati is going to be a tough game for us, too, because they're right along the same area we are in our division. I mean, like, we got the Browns and Ravens playing tonight. Everybody's saying it's a trap game, and Browns are going to get the first win. But, you know, the Ravens have been playing some good football after they came or start the season, and after they lost to us, they've been playing some good ball, and the way they showed up against the Steelers last week. I mean, like, Cincinnati could be playing for, you know, first place around, you know, one or two games off of the Ravens and the Steelers, so, you know, they're going to show up for it. So I hope we can get this win in Cincinnati. I hope Perkins continue to get some snaps, and, you know, I like to see Adams on the field more, too. He was in the game against Eagles. I think he did a good job. I think everybody, you know, showed up. Both sides clicked, and, you know, we was able to get some turnovers and stuff. So hopefully that mentality continues, and, you know, we can make a run at, you know, Super Bowl 51.
Yeah, so we'll take the rest of this offline. First off, he talked about a little bit, think about who Dallas has beaten, who Dallas hasn't beaten. I know people don't like to hear this and stuff.
Well, here's their schedule, Howard.
I don't know, but here's what I would have. I would put Romo back in the game. Romo opens up the entire field, and you can play better with Romo. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize that, you know, Dak Prescott is a short pass kind of guru right now. He keeps everything right in front of him, and I think he's learning, and he'll be better in the years to come. But it with Dallas with that offensive line and this opportunity, you go for the big bucks, no whammies. If it were me, I'd sell out for everything I could. I don't know if they're going to do that because there are so many pundits saying all around the league,
sure,
how Dak Prescott ride the hot hand. So that's one thing. As far as the Cincinnati basically is mirroring the Giants right now. They are in the same kind of boat. They're trying to get to themselves or keep pace with the team that's leading the division. So I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be two teams that need a win. It's not a must-win situation, but it's two teams that really need a win.
You know, the caller said, you know, he feels really good right now as a Giants fan getting this win over Philly because the Giants are two games over 500 at 5-3. Aside from when the Giants opened up the year 2-0, they had not been two games over 500 since the end of the 2012 season. That's how long it's been.
I can't do anything about all that. That's past.
But I guess right what I'm now, saying is I understand why he's excited because –
from a fan standpoint, it's great to be in this position. I'll tell the fans like if I was talking to the team.
Well, the playoffs don't start tomorrow.
Yeah, they don't start tomorrow. You got to win every game. You got to get it done right now. It's kind of like Alabama being number one in the nation. They lose one game. If they lose one game.
That's it.
Then it's over. You don't get to get to the playoffs. And it's crazy how all that happens. So – not that I don't think a one-win Alabama wouldn't deserve to be in the playoffs. I don't want to start that. But, you know, it could be good.
By the way, I'm going to throw my Alabama friend here a little bit of a softball before we go to the next phone call. Kevin Norwood, wide receiver from Alabama, who came out in the 2014 draft. I think he was a third or fourth round draft pick.
Yes, he was.
Suffered some injuries, foot and hip injuries his first couple years in the league. Was signed as a free agent by the Giants this week to be on the practice squad because they needed some receiver help, especially with Victor going down. He's a big kid, and he was a pretty good player at Alabama.
He was a very good player at Alabama. Norwood was what you call the pro's pro back then when he was playing in Alabama. He was dependable. You could go to him a lot. Was overshadowed by Amari Cooper.
Right.
Amari Cooper was there. And Julio Jones, he kind of fell in the middle right in that era, I do believe. So he was always great at what he was doing, but he had some real superstars he got a chance to play with.
So anyway, he's an interesting prospect that at the moment they've got him on the practice squad because they need somebody else out here working with the team. But you never know. Again, injuries have really sidetracked him. He could be a diamond in the rough and somebody they might be able to polish up, and he could be at some point a viable receiver for this team.
Man, I always pull for those Alabama guys, but
I know you do.
You especially pull for him because you know he's working hard, and injuries are it's tough on your body. It's a tough game.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones, 201-939-4513. Richie from Long Island is next on the show.
Yo, Richie.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
All right. I just want to say I appreciate, you know, what you guys do, you know, Giants first and 10, and throughout the training camp, I really enjoy all those programs.
That's nice.
We have fun.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Now, just a question. How do you guys feel about, like, you know, how Bobby Hart has been doing recently?
I think Bobby Hart's playing okay. I think he's doing better than anyone expected. He's making himself some money. The thing that you will notice is, like I said, Eli is starting to say, all right, I know where Bobby's going to be when he's dropping back, because, you know, I think Bobby's given up maybe one sack in the time. It's the pressures and the quarterback hits that you have to be aware of, and I'm not really sure where he is on that. I don't do the stats on that. I think what happened this past game, him tweaking his ankle pretty good, and he continued to play. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he played out of necessity or if he played because whatever.
Eli said, he yelled at him, you can't come out of the game. I need you.
He got up limping. He started to walk off. And they're like, hey, bro, where you going? No. And he danced a little bit on the field trying to get his – I'm like, he's dancing. That's funny. No, he's limping. I'm like, well, it looks like a dance. But so he stayed in the game. So
I thought he had to go to the bathroom.
That by itself, he grew up a little bit right there.
That was good.
Yeah.
I really hope he turns out to, you know, develop into a good player. You know, you always hear those comments of, you know, Jerry Reese doesn't know how to pick him, especially in the late round pick. If he becomes a starting developed right tackle in the league for a seventh round pick, you got your bargain right there.
He's got one heck of an assignment this week. Carlos Dunlap has 5.5 sacks and is among the NFL leaders in quarterback pressures and hits.
That's Alabama?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's good.
No, another question that I had too is, did Brett Jones ever play in the last season at all? I don't know.
He was on IR last year as a rookie.
He was in the practice squad?
No, he was on injury reserve for the season last year as a rookie.
Okay. I don't know, because, you know, from what I saw from the Eagles game, I thought he did a fairly, you know, good job, but as you guys said,
that's a tough spot, Howard, for him.
Hey, getting put in that game with that defensive line, that was pretty impressive. Like I said, it's going to be interesting to see, because small guy having to figure this thing out is going to be very interesting to see.
I will tell you this. I talked to Weston Richburg on our MSG postgame show in the coaches club after the Philly game, and I specifically asked him about Brett Jones coming in when Pugh went out, and how did the communication go, because it looked like everything was great. And Weston said he didn't miss a beat. He was sharp. He was right on it. Everything I asked him to do, he picked it up immediately. He said there was no problems at all, which is good.
Well, the kid's a pro.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, you know, and that also I think Weston Richburg is also going to have to elevate his play as well, you know, now that Brett Jones is there, because, you know, there was times that we've seen that Richburg had some trouble with some bigger guys, but I don't know, maybe this week he can improve on that. And also, you know, I'm really happy that we finally got a win against the Eagles. Oh, I was so tired of being there. I'm still actually kind of happy from that.
Everybody's happy about beating the Eagles, believe me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. But thank you for taking my call.
No problem. You know, the Giants have had some really good centers over the years who are always a little bit undersized compared to other guys in the league. Bart Oates was a tad undersized. Sean O'Hara was a tad undersized.
Okay.
And Weston Richburg is a tad undersized. Yep. And guess what? Those other two guys went to the Pro Bowl and won Super Bowls.
That's true.
So don't hold that against Weston.
I won't hold it against him. I'm not holding it against him. I'm just saying. You got to put a little weight in them pants, boy.
Well, he's a young guy yet. Yeah, he still has a little more to fill out.
A few more years.
Andres from Rochester, I believe, is next. Is that line one?
Andreas.
Andreas or Andres? What is it?
Just Andre.
Andre.
Okay.
Okay, we'll take out the S. You got it.
Thanks for your services as a Giant. We appreciate it, and we love you, man.
Oh, thanks.
D-Dot, man, you're the man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Given the matchup this weekend, or on Monday, I'm more concerned about A.J. Green and the slot position, because it seems like the slot's been eating us up, and the tight ends have been eating us up for those first big chunk first downs. I was wondering who's better in that matchup.
Well, Andre,
I wanted to ask a question about practice squad on Dante Dion, because it looked like he was giving the wide receivers problems in training.
He's hurt.
I was wondering what happened to him.
He's hurt, Andre. He's on practice squad injured reserve, which is about the 15th million designation you could have on a roster. Practice squad injured reserve. Okay.
They're protecting him. We can hide you somewhere.
He's so small they could hide him under the table.
What's going to happen, though? What's going to happen, though, is that when I'm looking for, you know, Camardi to be mirroring him a lot. I think, you know, Kamardi is our best cover guy. I mean, I know that Jack Rabbit is good, but Kamardi's a guy with the speed.
Kamardi has more size, too.
Yeah, he's a bigger, fast guy, so that's going to be interesting. As far as the tight end goes, you know, you got to hope that Robinson and everybody inside can cover him. You know, I think that's going to be the big thing. If Landon Collins gets nosy and has to come down and rush the passer from time to time, then Robinson or Shepard or one of those guys are going to cover tight end in the middle of the field. It's just part of the game.
Robinson's done a nice job the last couple of weeks.
He's made some incredible plays. Yeah. He's done a good job, not just on the tight end, but on the back. The tight end is dangerous, but covering the back out of the backfield, a much faster guy.
Very difficult.
Been very good at that.
Yeah, how about that Landon Collins pick? If he keeps playing like this, I see a Super Bowl for us, guys. I'll let you go.
Thanks a lot, man. Roll Tide. It's a lot of Bama talk today. I like this.
Thank you, Andre. Hey, let me ask you about a guy who was scratched last week. Coach McAdoo said it was because they had the three safeties up and also because they also needed special teams. So Leon Hall was a healthy scratch. Now, okay. Hall had been playing some in the Giants' nickel and dime package, depending upon who was available in any given week. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, in some instances, like in Dallas, second half, he was on Witten.
Okay.
So now he's a 9-year pro, played most of his career with the Bengals until he got to the Giants. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on perhaps what Hall could bring to the table for the Giants this week, and do you think they might use him on Eifert some?
I think he'll be in the game, and the reason why is because he had such a long career with the Bengals. And I think that will be, you know, he's familiar with some of the players, with A.J. He's familiar with Eifert. He's familiar with Dalton and some of the calls that they've been making.
No doubt.
So I think that, you know, even though you're learning your own scheme and your own defense, I think having a familiar face out there that's been practicing against those guys for 9 years, I think that's going to be very interesting to see if they can get him in the game.
Okay, we have another call, 201-939-4513. It's Ken from New Jersey who says he's not the other Ken. He doesn't want a bad rep. So, Ken, you're going to have to explain that to us.
Well, you guys said Ken from New Jersey had to go eat lunch or something. He hung up on you. That's not me, guys.
Oh, so the man was hungry. It's perfectly normal to be hungry.
That's terrible.
But, go ahead.
I wanted to talk about the running game for the most part, I guess, in this upcoming game with Brett Jones in there. I mean, we couldn't run the ball with Pugh in. I'm really wondering if we're going to be able to run it with Pugh out. I like how Brett Jones played last week, but I think the Cincinnati Bengals are a whole different beast. I have been watching a lot of red zone this year, so I've seen a lot of the Cincinnati Bengals games. They do play much – they're like two different teams on the road, so hopefully we can benefit from that. And that I wanted to say, Howard, roll tide, man. Landon Collins is just a beast. I love him.
He's
I love him to death.
Well. He's playing very well right now. God bless him.
Yeah, he is. Also, I really am trying to understand this because I lost my voice last week on that so-called incomplete pass interception on Beckham. I'm really trying to understand how the ball was on the ground and it was an incomplete pass intercepted. I really can't wrap my head around it.
Well, what we've done is that you know, Donald Trump's become president, and one of his campaign promises was he was going to figure out what a completion was. He said he was going to put a special committee together, and he was going to figure out if he was going to get Congress to sit down, and they're going to discuss it.
What is a catch?
What is a catch? What's not a catch? Because it is from week to week. It is. I heard an interesting debate. They were saying that tennis is by far the easiest replay, then it's baseball. And they said then football becomes this thing. They can't figure out if the guy in the replay booth has a view of something different, which he doesn't. Is it because and this would be my opinion of it. I think the person in the replay booth who's helping them with the replay should be an independent person. He should have no relationship to the officials whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Because it shouldn't be I don't know, and forgive me for saying this, officials, if you guys want to talk to me, Bandinos might call me, but Bandino, but if Paul and I are in the game and I'm in the booth and Paul's on the field and Paul makes a call and then Paul calls up to the thing, hey, Howard, this is what I called. Like, why is he going to call my name? Why I got to know him? I'm like, I should be an independent guy, so when Paul calls up, what do we have? And just go from there.
Right.
And I think that
would
help.
A neutral party.
Yeah, because I think there's I don't know this, but I think that, you know, when you want to get it right, at the same time, you're like, well, Paul will be making his case also of what they saw. Well, my guy saw this. Like, that's not the question. What are we looking at? That should be the question every time they call up is, what are we looking at? And it shouldn't be that – shouldn't take that long, because in a play where Odell Beckham and the guy go to the ground together, Ty goes to the receiver.
That's what I always thought.
If it was the other way around and it was another team doing it and it wasn't the Giants, Ty still goes to the receiver. There have been some plays in the game, and Paul has been on the sideline with me and hasn't been on the sideline with me. It'll be our team doing it, or it'll be another team doing it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pass interference. And the guys are like, you just called pass interference on your own team. I'm like, that's pass interference. And then they don't call it. He goes like, they didn't call it. I'm like, I don't care if they didn't call it. When it comes back and it's against us, it's going to be pass interference.
We know what we see.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, and here's the thing that people don't realize. Out of hundreds and hundreds and thousands of plays, the officials don't miss that many. It just feels like when they miss one, there's Twitter, there's Instagram, there's everything, and we're all talking about it the moment it happens.
It seems like they always miss one on the Giants when it's late in the game and the game's on the line.
That's because you pay more attention to those plays. That's why.
You're a Giants fan.
Could be biased, but correct me if I'm wrong. Would it have made more sense to call it Beckham had possession, fumble recovery by the Eagles? That would have made more sense to me than incomplete pass interception.
Here's the thing. The reason why it was a bad call, because it's a bad explanation. You got to also remember that when these guys hit that button and they start to speak, they realize that they're on air at that moment. And it's not an easy thing to try to explain what you're calling at the moment that you're calling it. Because what he should have said was, boom, ball, it's either an incomplete pass, totally, because he would have had to wrestle the ball off of Beckham's body across the ground and pull it up, but they called it whatever they called it on the ground, which it was confusing.
It really was.
Yeah, so that's why it's hard to explain. All right, so what did you see in the replay? Well, we can't determine what it was. And then when he says it, the official goes like, really? You can't.
You're watching it on TV and you can't figure it out. So I gotta go with
I gotta go back out there and explain what I just messed up. Okay, yeah. I got this. What are you going to say? I don't know. And then he goes out and he hits the button.
Right.
So
all I got to say about it is thank God it didn't cost us the game. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
No problem. Thank you. I think we could make a – here's my next big business plan. We got to get some investors. I got the perfect sitcom. It's called Refs. You got like, and it's a great thing. It's got a hockey ref, an umpire.
I know a lot of refs, and they're good guys.
But refs would be the greatest sitcom ever. What these guys do at night, how they get the games, what their lives are like on a regular basis. I think it would be so much fun. The football, the baseball guys and the basketball guys are making fun of the football guys. Like, he's got a job, you know. It will be so.
I think we should move on. Hello, Brock. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
The umpire bar. Would they be watching the games and talking about?
Going to get
buddies?
Us in trouble.
Okay,
let's move on, please. Hello, Brock.
Hey, can you hear me, guys?
Absolutely. Can hear you fine. Thank you.
Do you think my show refs would work?
All right. So Giants got a couple good wins under the belt. Big one with the Eagles. Got some confidence coming into this game. Bengals coming off a bye, I believe. I think, in my opinion, that's a good thing for us. But we focus on, you know, you guys are talking about what we need to stop, that the Bengals do good with A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert. But what is it that you guys think that they do bad, that McAdoo is, you know, in the locker room saying, all right, this is their weak spot. We need to go in and attack this. And just with that, that's all I really had, guys, and I'm going to take it off the air and listen from there.
Okay.
It's not necessarily what the Bengals do bad. It's like, what will the Giants be able to do on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. And right now what they're doing is, you know, more receivers are being active, Eli's finding more guys open. When you're finding when more guys are catching the ball, when Lewis, you know, Shepard, Odell Beckham, was Cruz, I don't know if Cruz is going to be back this week, are catching the ball, that is a painful, painful thing for a defense. And in the addition of Will Tye, which is people – I know people don't get this, but the kid, Stony Brook, when he's in there and he gets the ball, he's playing his heart out. I mean, he catches the ball in the middle of the field. Guys are bouncing off of him and everything. He's not running a 4.440. He's like he's chugging on. He's the little engine that could sometimes. He makes plays. He's not one of those explosive threat, double threat to guys down the field, but he keeps making plays in big moments. So those things along, that's what the Giants are doing well right now. There's a lot of guys touching the ball in the receiving core.
I'm with Howard. I think this game is about how well the Giants execute and perform on their own. And the players often talk about that. It's about what we do, not what the other team does. But if you are looking for weaknesses in the Bengals, their offensive line is suspect. They've given up 24 sacks.
Good.
You know, that's been a problem. Andy Dalton in the past has been a guy who can be erratic when he's hurried, good, as a lot of guys can
we
be.
We like that. We like that.
Okay. And then on defense, I've talked to a scout who told me that their back seven misses a lot of tackles. So that could be good for yards after the catch for the Giants.
Odell's going to light them up then. That's
you know,
perfect.
They are strong up front. They've got the two guys in Dunlop and in Atkins, mm-hmm. But then the back seven, they've had a lot of trouble locking down on people, and their defensive coordinator during the bye week threatened Jobs and actually had some healthy starters sit out practice yesterday because he wanted them to watch and think about it.
Oh, yeah, that don't work. Because they know they're still going to get paid.
They are.
They're not going to work. That's a high school move. You can't go that way.
They also re-signed Wallace Gilberry, who was a former Giant many years ago.
Wallace Gilberry.
He has just come back and be re-signed by the Bengals this week. And they're saying immediately he's going to be in there to be in the rotation and help out the pass rush. Johnson has had a down year for them. In the past, he's done some good things at defensive end. And they're saying Gilberry is going to take some of his snaps. So they're trying to shake things up in Cincinnati.
That's all right. Shake them up. You know, but like I said again, when you have guys, the Giants kind of did this now. They did it in a different way. They evaluated over their bye week and said who is not going to be playing because we want to get some other guys reps.
Mm-hmm.
And if these guys get reps and they can do the job, then you'll be watching. Larry Donnell is a benefactor, not a benefactor, but a guy who was
affected.
Was a victim of this moment.
Yes.
You know, Larry's been playing okay. He fumbled a couple of times. He's had a hard time in the run game. All of a sudden, two guys step in front of him, and he's there cheering them on, and he's playing in special teams. But his starting job, he's watching other guys do his job.
Yeah, you had Ty, Adams, and Newhouse playing tight end last week.
Yep.
And, in fact, Ty and Adams each caught a third down conversion.
Yes, they did.
You know?
And they took big hits after the play.
They did.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
Jay from Connecticut, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hello. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Very good, Jay.
Okay, I'm just calling to express my excitement right now, being a New York Giants fan. Just a few things. Not going to keep you guys too long. Just a few things I want to just say on air. I'm really happy with what's going on right now, considering what's going on all over the division. I know everybody's high on Dallas, but for me, it's a big thing knowing that Dallas is only lost this year, having to come to us. Maybe nobody wants to talk about that, but I'll talk about it. this team is young. They're only going to get better. Offense, defense, we're not relying on old guys, older players. These are younger guys proving their mark, you know, making their mark in the league. So I could see this team really just going up from here. Like, I just wanted to see how you guys really felt about that. I'm not too scared of the Bengals because, I mean, I don't think they're doing too good right now, and I think we'll probably beat them, hopefully. But considering what's going on right now, do you guys see, like, because I already had this outlook before the season started. I thought that the NFC East is going to get two teams in the playoffs this year. I've had this thought all year. Now, my question to you guys is, do you see us climbing Dallas? or do you see us getting that wild card spot? Because I strongly believe that there will be two teams representing the NFC East in the playoffs this year, and I'll let you guys answer off here.
I will do this. I don't project too far ahead because you never know what happened. The game is so tight. It's so crazy. Too many things can go on.
Especially injuries.
And let's just go with Dallas, for instance. Let's say that Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended, which is a possibility because they're circling and people are still talking about that. What happens then? They still have Morris in the backfield who can carry the ball, but if Zeke goes out, that changes a lot of what happens in Dallas. So we don't project because we don't know. As far as the Giants themselves and what they're going to do going forward, I just want them to beat Cincinnati. If they beat Cincinnati, if they find a way to win the game by one, by two touchdowns, by a field goal, whatever it is, they beat Cincinnati, they're 6-3. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
If they're 6-3, then we can talk about what happens the following week. And the following week will be, can you beat the Bears? So I don't want to project anything. I don't want to take on what ifs and what could be's. You can only deal with what's ahead of you. If you look too far down the road, you will hit a pothole, and if you had those run flat tires, it's going to cost you $600. Personal experience, I don't want to talk about it.
we have Brad, who is on Twitter. BKGman09 says, Howard, you were on the Fossil team in 97 that tied the Skins in primetime. Mm-hmm. That was a 7-7 game.
That is true. I remember that. That guy.
Gus Frerotte.
Knocked himself out of the game.
Headbutted the wall.
Dumbest dude. And, yeah, that is so – you know what? That was good. You said in the 80s.
That was the Cardinals game with Neil O'Donnell.
But you missed that game.
I forgot your game. Exactly. I forgot your game.
It's not just me, Paul.
I'm getting old.
Oh, I'm not getting old. I'm getting better.
But thank you. I appreciate you bringing that up.
That is so funny. That's the Armstead game. I remember that.
Yes. We have here a gentleman says, Steven Tuenberg, if Jones does very well this month, will they consider moving Pugh to right tackle when he gets back? I doubt it. Makes no sense. With all due respect.
Here's what's going to happen.
Pugh's a really good guard.
Here's what's going to happen. If Jones can play, we don't want him to be bad because I think that's what everyone goes negative. If he can play really, really well, play great, Pugh's still going to come back and take his spot. And I just think that because Pugh is a really good lineman for his size and everything playing in the NFL. Could be a Pro Bowler if he keeps it up. Mm-hmm. Now, if Jones doesn't play well, and that's the thing that people should be worried about, then that's when the shuffle starts to happen. And you don't want the shuffle.
Right.
You want him to play well. You want him to be serviceable. You want to do whatever it is he needs to do, do it well enough. And then, I always tell people, I like guys to play well. I like to see guys make money. This is his kid's time to put some stuff on tape to grow his opportunity in the league. Hey, you're a Canadian football player, a Canadian league guy. Now you're in the NFL. Now you got a shot. Hey, dude, live it up. Drink that drink. It's every drop of it because you don't know when you get these chances. It's a tough thing to do. So go do it.
A.J. Marshall says he wants to know your thoughts about Ernie, Justin, and Tom. That would be a Corsi, Tuck, and Coughlin going into the Ring of Honor on Monday night.
I think Ernie, of course, he following George Young, did an admirable job of drafting, bringing guys along, creating the scenario of the Super Bowls that were won there, which was incredible. Drafting Eli Manning as a quarterback will go down as one of his greatest feats. Being there to hire Tom Coughlin goes down as a great feat. You just Ernie, of course, he did a lot for the franchise. Then you go to we'll go Tom Coughlin, two Super Bowls. That's all you got to say.
Drop Mike.
Two Super Bowls. was able to coach guys that almost always historically an 8-8, 9-7 team. Historically, he couldn't figure out how to get them to a 10. He did. I think they had 10 wins one year. But
yes.
He couldn't figure out how to get them above that because he couldn't get them healthy enough the entire time he coached to get them there. But with that said, he found a way to make them Super Bowl contenders. Here's the other thing about Coach Coughlin that people won't realize or don't talk about enough. He changed his persona to be a better coach. He was one of the oldest coaches in the league, mm-hmm. and he found a way to blend and to mesh with this younger generation Y, whatever they're called today.
X.
X, Y.
Now they're the millenniums.
There you go, millenniums. He found a way to make them to identify with the millenniums. And then Justin Tuck. What can you say about Justin Tuck?
Awesome.
A pro's pro.
Yep.
A guy who came in when there were I remember when he first got to the team, he was like the third rusher kind of guy. He quickly became a star on the team, started going to Pro Bowls, started fighting. I'll always give Justin a hard time to get these little bitty hands, this giant dude with these tiny little hands. But he could play and played hurt all the time, bad shoulder, anything. And as evidence of what kind of teammate and what kind of person he was, I watched him even when he left and went to the Raiders. They had a big play. The Raiders had never evidently had a big play. They were going crazy. Tuck, get back over here and get in the huddle. We got a game to play. And just he was that guy his entire career. Good guy, tough guy, great person, great family man, and a true giant.
Tom Przlobinski wants to know whatever happened to Tavares King, the wide receiver, who has been active some, not active other times, and when he's in there, they usually bring him in as a blocking wide receiver.
Again, I wish fans understood how hard it is to get another guy in. This is, you know, think of it like Alabama. Here's a great example. Every year they have a number one or top ranked recruiting class. They come in, all these guys come in. How do these guys get to play with the Julio Jones is standing around, with Amari Cooper standing around, with Ridley standing around, with all those great defensive linemen in the games, all those great linebackers are in the game? Because coach kind of measures them in here and there and lets them play. Special teams. This kid is going to be a good player, but he's in a game with you can only have so many guys active. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
In college, you can have 100 players. You can figure out ways to get
Tell me
game.
About it. When I announce college games, I got guys with double numbers.
Yeah, you can get 100 players. You figure it out. But in football, you can only have 46 active that day. That is the big case. And King is he's the last receiver. So as the last receiver, he has to be so special in special teams that he can get himself on the field every week. But if somebody's needed, if you need another safety, King sitting down. Mm-hmm. If you need another lineman, King is going to sit down, because you got to like take the guy that you can, that's the most affordable guy that you can sit down. Sit him down so you can bring in guys you need out of necessity.
We have Andrew Lum wants to remind you that Carlos Dunlap actually went to Florida, not Bama.
Dang it! It just felt like another Bama guy.
So I appreciate you for checking my partner here, because I let that one slip by.
I didn't know that he went. I thought Dunlap went to Alabama.
I'm just saying. Well, SEC, right?
Still SEC. We'll let it go. It's still SEC.
Let's see. Do we have any others here? Let's see. That looks like that's about it.
Funny.
That's about it. A.J. Marshall, running Giants running game, still dead last, hasn't improved. I mean, that's just what it is. Wow. You know?
And by the way, Dunlap wanted to go to Alabama. We just couldn't. He'll probably see this and like start beating me up on Twitter or something. That's hilarious.
Really, that's about it in terms of Twitter. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. We got a couple of more minutes left in the show. And so we don't have a phone call. All right, no problem. I will go back then and ask you, Howard, in terms of what we have seen from the Giants pass rush. They have, I believe, 7 sacks over the last 3 games during the winning streak, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's definitely gotten better. What do you attribute that to?
Nothing. Just they're just keeping the pressure on. I think that the thing that people don't realize is that Snacks is a big-time run stopper. So what's happening is that when Snacks is in the game, some teams are saying, okay, let's try to sneak a quick play action in or something, because
okay,
we got the big guys in, and we're not really worried about it. He gets pushed. When he starts getting pushed up the middle, that gums up the work to everybody else, and then there's when sacks start happening. When teams are not expecting it, the safeties are doing a good job of disguising where they are. I saw a couple times in the game last week, which you will not see this week, there was not anybody deep. It was zero coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's zero coverage and you got everybody up against it, you're going to get a hit. Now, with a guy like A.J. Green that's out there, you can't really.
Bad idea.
Can't do that.
No.
You can't unless you got a jam on him like you're playing like a punt, when you got two guys standing over AJ Green, then everybody else can just rush. But you just can't do that. So that's going to be the big thing. It's going to be, can they figure out a way to get that kind of pressure on them, you know, without having the safety deep or two safeties over the top and stuff like that.
On the Andrew Adams interception, which was the second one in the first quarter against Philadelphia, the Giants got pressure out of Devon Kennard, who actually played the right defensive tackle spot on the play and was able to get push and forced Wentz into the hurry and a throw, which got picked in center field by Adams. Devon Kennard, interesting for him to be playing defensive tackle, kind of in the old Whitlock role.
Well, I think it's more than the old Whitlock role. I would go more kind of closer to the NASCAR role. You got a fast, bigger guy at Whitlock. At Kennard, who's like 6'3", 6'4". He can put his hand in the ground and rush. If he puts his hand in the ground and rush, you would think he'd be rushing on the outside.
Right.
Right? But because he has a quicker get-off, they put him in the middle, and it causes a problem. Put him in that gap. You got to figure out a way to slow that guy down. If you let him get an edge on you, he's going to get by you, and you're going to hold him. So either you're going to have to, like, sell out to block him, which is what's happening, or you're going to have to hold him. And either way is a positive play for him.
So that's pretty cool because we remember a couple of years back before the injuries kind of sidetracked him a bit, he had 4.5 sacks in the final month and a half of the season 2 years ago as a pass rusher.
He is playing harder and stronger this year because he, you know, like everything else in life, he starts to realize, like, okay, there have been a lot of people come in and out of this program. I'm looking around, and there's a new coach. So whatever I've done in the past doesn't really matter. This guy's looking at me for the first time as the head guy, so I got to pick it up.
Yeah, and the last guy I do want to mention to Howard before we sign off for the day is Paul Perkins, who was able to do some things in the run game. In fact, in the second half, 8 carries for 34 yards or 36 yards. That was 34, I think it was, or 38, I think. Bottom line was it was over 4 yards a carry. Okay. I don't want to get into the decimals, but it was over 4 yards a carry in the second half. In limited action, he definitely gave them a little jump.
And that was late in the game, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so late in the game, there is a premium on putting pressure, trying to get to guys. Guys are selling out. They're sometimes not doing all their responsibilities, and you get a little extra bump there. What I like about it is that, again, we've had a couple games where we've had to run the ball late in the game to try to eat some clock up, and you put guys in. The question is can he take that productivity from the last 4 minutes of the game and put it in the beginning of the game and let it run through? A lot of people have been calling to see him. Now he's starting to have a little success, a little more success. Let's see if Coach, you know, thinks he's having enough to put him in.
Do you think he's earned an opportunity to get more looks?
I don't know because every time I say yes, then that guy just disappears. So I don't want to say anything yes.
Because Dark was actually disappeared and through no fault of his.
Dark was looking positive, leaning forward, getting positive yards, and then – so I don't know what – I don't know how they're ranking productivity. As everyone keeps pointing out to us, we're last in rushing the ball, but however they're ranking it, you know, this kid looks like he's getting better and better every game.
The only thing I would say is that Bobby Rainey, who had been nursing a bit of a soft tissue injury, and I see he's not on the injury report today, I will sign off by letting you know that Adams, Cruz, Nassib, Pugh, and Wynn listed on the pre-practice injury report. Again, we don't know how much they're working this afternoon, but we'll check on that and have more info on Giants.com with you later on this afternoon. But, yeah, Bobby Rainey had a calf, I think, the last couple of weeks, and that kind of allowed Perkins to jump up a little bit and get those chances.
Yeah, that calf injury was the new injury a couple of years ago. Everybody had one. So hopefully that's not – I'm knock on wood here. I'm hoping that Rainey's not going to fall into that, whatever that is, the calf injury. I have no idea.
All right, folks, just to give you a heads up on what's going on the rest of the day here today, I'll be back with David Deal on MSG for Giants Press Conference Live this afternoon at 4 p.m. Then coming up tomorrow, check your local listings for Giants 1st and 10. Howard Cross and myself participate in that. It's on many times over the course of the weekend. And then don't forget, again, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Monday to Friday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 hour right here on Giants.com to talk Giants football. And, of course, on Monday Night Football this weekend, hey, it's the Giants and Bengals, Ring of Honor night, going to be fun, Accorsi, Tuck, and Coughlin. We invite you to stay tuned here to Giants.com for all of the details. We'll see you next time, everybody.